We've been working through the disciples' prayer or the Lord's prayer for so many of us. That's what we think it is. But let me read it to you today. If you have your Bibles again, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through the following. And we've been repeating it over and over again because at least the way educators tell me, you need to hear something at least 8 or 9 times before it begins to stick. So hopefully it'll stick a little bit more today. It says this, "And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Then this is how you should pray. This is the pattern that Jesus calls us to. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Let's pray. Father, for these next few moments, I ask that you would open our hearts, that you would take away all confusion, that you would give us clarity, that, Lord, we just believe that this is the Word of God and it is sharper than a two-edged sword and it is meant to change us and transform us. It's meant to rock us on our heels. It's meant to show us what reality really is versus what we often experience within our community and our culture and even our country. Father, for the next few moments, will you speak to our hearts and would you change us as a people that we will walk out of here a whole lot more like Christ than when we walked in. And we thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we're going to be spending most of our time on verse 12 and verse 14. And as we think about that today, I just wanted to remind you that Jesus is giving us a pattern, a plan for praying. And this morning, we're going to be dealing with some hard issues. In fact, I believe it's one of the major issues, not only within our church, but literally every church across the world. And I think if we could sort of grab hold of this, it would impact us in such a way that it would transform how we live and the community in which we live in. And I actually believe that Jesus realizes that, and I believe that's why he brings verse 14 into play. He begins with verse 12. We've all read it together. "Forgive our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." And one of the things that strikes me at verse 12 is it's such an easy verse today to say, "Forgive our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." I mean, the church language there is so good. And it seems as I read it through, and I've been reading it through for months now, that it is such a stained glass type of comment. This whole idea of debts and debtors, it makes it easy to roll off our tongue, doesn't it? But what if we change the words and the meaning? We're not changing the meaning. We're actually opening it up a little bit more. What if we changed it to "forgive our sins and let us forgive those who sin against us"? But if we words like, "Lord, forgive us when we hurt people, when we disrespect them, when we damage people's hearts and minds, when we speak and it damages their reputation." Literally, the Jesus is coming before us and reminding us that you and I, even though we have this relationship with Christ, he's reminding us that on a daily basis, we do those things. Forgive our debts, Father. I mean, just for a few moments, just think for a few minutes what that really means. And to some degree, it gives us a little bit of freedom, not in the way to walk away from grace, but to recognize that we are a broken people. And because of that fact, We do broken things, and we miss out opportunities, and we say the wrong things in everyday circumstances, and we may not recognize it as a big deal, but it is. Forgive our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And we're going to skip verse 13 today because I think it is so interesting that the Word of God and Jesus himself begins to recognize that you and I could get stuck on this one simple phrase, forgive our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. I mean, it sounds so simple to do, but then what does verse 14 say? Because he's linking them together. It says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. Does that sort of strike you as amazing? Does that sort of capture your imaginations for a few moments? Do you realize what's going on as Jesus knows is that verse 12, we're going to forgive our debts and forgive those who have debts against us, but he stops us and said, no, this is a critical issue. And he's literally saying, it is so easy to get stuck in unforgiveness. I want to emphasize how important this is to you because every single person here has been hurt by another person. Every single person here, even as I'm talking about unforgiveness, know and recognize there's circumstances and situations and peoples in our lives that have hurt us and damaged us, and we have oftentimes just dismissed them. And Jesus says, that's not what I want you to do. In fact, if you were to talk to any counselor or a psychologist or a psychiatrist and began to probe into their client list, probably every single one of them would be dealing with issues dealing with forgiveness. I mean, I'm certainly recognize there's chemical imbalances that go on, but so often because we don't take Christ's word seriously, we don't realize that it's going to be easy to get stuck when people hurt us and harm us. And Jesus is literally looking at us and saying, but I want you to be different. Jesus literally realizes that this is a critical issue, and he gives us verse 14 to be scary clear. If you forgive, you're forgiven. If you don't forgive, you don't receive forgiveness. So let me just stop and talk about forgiveness for a moment. Forgiveness is to release a person from obligation. Forgiveness is a willingness, and it literally always involves a choice. And if you came in today, one of the things that you saw on your hemp pew is a fork. And I remember last time, it's really interesting, 3 years ago I used this illustration. In fact, they were yellow forks with a bow around it. And it had to do with a pastor was doing a funeral one day, and he noticed that in the coffin the lady had a fork. Remember the illustration? Because the best was yet to come. And we talked about when someone, how many of you had barbecues this week? How many of you are going to have any barbecues this summer? Let's make this a little bit better since we need to work on that. We're going to build community. But when someone says, save your fork, what does that mean? There's something better coming. There's dessert coming, pie. There's pie coming. It's a good thing. Let that illustration slip for your mind for a few moments. Because I want you to know that literally forgiveness is a choice. It's a fork in the road. It's a fork in the road that every single one of us has to make a choice about. In fact, one of the things that we oftentimes think is, oh, forgiveness isn't a big deal. I don't need to choose it. But the reality of it is always a choice. And you're in the fork in the road right now, and the choice is this. You can hold the debt over someone, and every time you see that person, the turmoil in your heart begins, the upsetting begins, the anger begins, the wanting to stick it to that person begins. And we've all been there before. If you're honest, it's probably something that you wrestle with on a more regular basis than you'd care to confess. But the fact of the matter is, we live in a broken world and people do broken things and we hear harsh words, or we ourselves are harsh with people. And every person we know is at that fork in the road every single day. You can choose to keep that person at an arm's distance. You can choose to decide that you're going to hold that person up and never release them from your heartache and brokenness. Or you can release that person from the results of your injury. And so Jesus is literally saying, and he's looking at us as his people, and he says, you know what, I want you to understand that forgiveness is a critical issue. And I think it really is. Just imagine if we were a people that learned to forgive quickly. Just stop. Just stop. I think part of the reasons why Jesus is emphasizing this so clearly is that for you and I, before we even go any further and sort of deal with this a little bit more realistic, for you and I, if we have been forgiven by Christ because we recognize all that he has done for us, if we are followers of him, then one of the characteristics of us is that we should be becoming increasingly forgiving people. Not perfectly, not entirely well, but more and more and more as we mature with Christ, as we walk with him, as we decide to put his words into our lives, as we begin to take seriously the messages that he's giving us, one of the results should be that you and I get better at forgiving. We don't often talk about it, or we assume it's an easy thing to do. It never is an easy thing. Again, it's a fork in the road. And one of those things that struck me as I was preparing for this passage and reading it through literally for months now, I've been sort of wrestling through what this looks like. One of the things that came to me is, do you ever stop and realize how God has forgiven you? Do you ever stop and just think for a moment the cost of salvation? And see, one of the things that strikes me as followers of Christ, especially if you've been raised in the church or you're a fairly good person, is that you have this attitude that God may have forgiven all these really, really bad people, but I'm not really one of those people. And yet Scripture says every single one of us fall short. So the truth of the matter is, if there was only one person left on earth and it was you, and Jesus came, do you realize we would be the one who would be placing him on the cross? We would be the one who would be driving the nails in his hands. We would be the one that he would die for so that we might have a relationship with his Father. What if we really began to recognize the truth of that we all fall short? So how do you deal with this? You say that prayer each day. It's part of it. Lord, forgive us when we choose to sin. Lord, I messed up. I was angry. I was upset. Lord, would you forgive me for my behaviors and my attitudes and my intentions or walking away from the things I knew I should have done? And Lord, would you forgive? Let me forgive the people that hurt and harmed me. So how do we do that? How do we forgive people that have hurt us? And let me just recognize that it's intentional sometimes. I mean, there are times when we just get hurt and we're out of sorts because of what someone says, and there's always that type of foolishness that goes on. But a lot of times, if we're truly honest, when we get hurt, there's an intentionality to it, and it hurts. So what do we do? What do we do with the hurt that we carry? If we look at what the world says, most of the time the world tells us on a regular basis that this whole idea of forgiveness, though it's important, you know what, there are just some things that are too big. Have you ever said that to yourself? This hurt is too big. It was too embarrassing. It was too public. This is just too big a deal. I'm never going to let it go. Or people will come up to you and say in the midst of those circumstances, well, you know what, time heals things. Do you know that's not true? Time doesn't heal anything. It may give you the opportunity to cover up the hurt so it's not noticeable, but if you're like me or most people that I talk to, have you ever noticed you can go like, hey, I've forgiven that person and everything's fine, and then that person does something or a situation like it arises, and what happens to that scab that you've covered up so well? It comes out. You're angry. You're frustrated. And then you think, well, time heals all wounds. I'm just going to ignore it or let it go. Except we don't. It's still there. Or we have this idea, you know what? I'm going to forgive that person when they say they're sorry. Except what if that person is dead? What if there is never going to be that conversation where the person comes up to you and says, you know what, I realized I hurt you and I just want to come before you and say I'm sorry to you. I mean, literally, how often that has that happened? But what do we say? Well, the world says you don't forgive someone until they come to you and say it. Except most people never come to you and say it. Or I've had people tell me, well, you know what, I'm just going to forgive and forget. And it's interesting because unless you forgive somebody, you're never going to forget. Did you ever think every so often that Jesus actually knew what he was doing? And he literally is saying, this is a big issue. I want you to deal with it because I don't want you to be buried or hurt or harmed or anxious or upset. I don't want you to have sleepless nights. I don't want you to live in such a way where you basically say, I'm never going to get hurt again. And so you walk away from all relationships because of the brokenness. Where the world also says, well, you can forgive him, but somebody needs to pay. There needs to be payback. And we live in a world that continually says that that's sort of normal. And frankly, we see it regularly within the politics of our nation right now. There's that continual tit for tat, regardless of what goes on. If you insult me, I'm going to insult you worse. And it just continues over and over and over again. And I think Jesus knew exactly what he was saying here. As we pray this simple prayer, forgive our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. See, I think Jesus understood either you're going to get better or you're going to get bitter. And for a lot of us, bitterness has been the way we've chosen to go. So what do you do with this? And to be honest with you, for the next few moments, I'm using material I got from James McDonald. I think he's probably one of the best speakers when it deals with this idea of forgiveness, and I'm going to share his view on things. But how do you deal with forgiveness? If Jesus says we're to forgive people, and Jesus literally says if we're a people that refuse to forgive others, he's not going to forgive us. I mean, that should make us really, really uncomfortable and scared in some degree. So how do you deal with it? What if you're at that place where you're recognizing, okay, here is a hurt, here is a heartache, here is a brokenness, I've covered it for years, but I need to deal with it now. He literally says that forgiveness is a crisis. When you decide to forgive somebody, that when you decide to take the fork in the road that says, I'm going to forgive, do you realize it's a crisis? And one of the things, and I've never noticed it before, and maybe this will be new to you, have you ever been told, and especially in churches we do it, and pastors do it often, we say things like, well, just forgive them. Have you ever heard that? Just let it go, forgive them. And we sort of figure that we can do that. How many of you have ever really been able to do that immediately? I'm just going to forgive. I'm never going to bring it up again. I'm not going to talk about it. It's just done. How many of you ever felt guilty because you can't do that? Okay, good. Some of you are there. See, one of the things that struck me this week is that God is the only one that has the ability and the power and the integrity and the character. When he forgives us, he is able to let it go because he's God. It says that he never brings it up again. He separates himself from it. It's his choice. Isn't that? And so your message today at the very beginning is you're not God. And see, I think what happens sometimes, we tell people, just forgive, and they go, okay, and they'll come to the front, and they'll take some time, and they'll bring it before God, and they say, okay, I'm forgiving that person, and then Monday morning rolls around, and what happens? It all comes back, and the enemy comes and whispers in your ears and says, see, you're a failure. You don't know anything about forgiveness. God can't love you. And you think there must be something wrong with me. The pastor said it was a really easy thing. It's not, and we're not God. So there has to be a process here. But the first step is that crisis. We begin to look at unforgiveness as our Savior does, and he says it's sin. So that first step in forgiving someone is to recognize I need to deal with this situation. And it may be a simple prayer. Abba, I don't want this in my life. I choose to forgive right now. I recognize the hurt and the heartache and the brokenness. I recognize my own anger and the hatred I've had toward this person. But my deep desire is for God's forgiveness. And that outweighs any desire I have to withhold forgiveness from someone. It's that crisis thing because it's a hard thing to forgive somebody. It's a difficult thing to recognize that part of forgiveness is saying the hurt that has happened to me, I'm going to let go of. And then there's the process of it. There's the crisis, the decision. I'm going to be obedient to God. I'm going to do what he's called me to do. I'm going to make my confession and make my choice and choose the path I'm going to walk down. But then there's that process. It's in the midst of recognizing that you've chosen to forgive, and then there's a process you walk through. You don't review it. See, oftentimes when we say we're going to forgive somebody, we make that choice and then we spend a lot of time reviewing what they did to us. And some of us have conversations in our heads about what we would really say if we had the nerve to walk up to them, and you have this dialogue that goes back and forth, and you remind yourself sort of regularly what took place, and even though you've chosen to forgive them, you bring it up in your mind and in your heart. The process is, I'm not going to go there. The process is the choosing of I'm not going to get worked up about this. I'm not going to allow this to roll around in my mind. I'm going to choose to live out that choice of not extracting the payment for the pain. That takes some effort because we are so accustomed to bringing things up over and over and over again. And see, when you find yourself failing in that process, that the step, even though it may be uncomfortable, is to go back to the crisis again. Lord, forgive me. I want to be a forgiving person, but here I am bringing this up to you again. I think that's what was going on in this passage. Jesus was saying forgiveness is a difficult thing, but I want you to deal with it so you can be free, so that you can be whole, so that you're not in bondage to those issues any longer. So that you can restore relationship. And I recognize some relationships are if it's an abusive thing, that's a whole different issue. But that's not 90% of what we deal with. It's the slight over the cup of coffee. It's the not snubbing someone. It's the silly words that often are heard in the wrong way. Those are the things that we battle with. See, I think also one of the things that Jesus wanted to communicate to us is that if we really don't want to forgive other people, then maybe we've never really experienced the forgiveness of God for ourselves. Maybe the reason why we don't want to forgive is because we don't really think God has done such an amazing thing in our lives. Because we're not like that other person. So this last week, I have just been praying that we as a people would begin to experience God's forgiveness of us. Because God's standard is perfection. In heart, soul, mind, and body, perfection is His standard. And I know I'm so far from that, that I am oftentimes overwhelmed by the forgiveness of God, that I might come before Him and once again bring a confession into His presence. And He forgives. So the fork is before you. And I want you to take the fork home and put it someplace where you'll see it, just to remind you that every day, especially living within our culture and context, that there's always a fork in the road. Will I forgive, or will I hold that person? And recognize the bondage is promised for us. In fact, I don't have time today, but there's other scripture about the servant that doesn't forgive. And Jesus says at the end of that parable that the Father will allow tormentors in until that circumstance is rectified. And I think some of that tormentors are depression and fear and anxiety and tension and stomach ulcers and all those other physical manifestations of stress. And He says, I'm going to continue here until we begin to deal with this stuff. So today's our day, and the fork is before you. Which road will you take? And maybe the time is now simply to go before the Father and say, Father, will you show me how much you have forgiven us, forgiven me? And I don't want to be stuck here anymore. And I want to go through that crisis, and I recognize there may be a process to this, but me being right with you is more important than any other thing that I can think of. That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. do this in remembrance of me. On the night that Christ was betrayed, imagine that he took bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body which is broken for you. And he took the cup and he said, this is the new covenant. This is the forgiveness of sins. The Lord's Supper was not given on a good day for Jesus. It says when he's betrayed. It doesn't say when they were nice to him or when all the disciples were getting along. That was never to be. When he was betrayed, he offered himself on our behalf. And he's calling us to be more like him. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, everyone here is at a fork in the road. And you said in the scripture that we're called to be a people that forgive. And Father, we just acknowledge to you that's a hard thing. Some of us, we've actually been hurt. We've been insulted. We've been broken. We've carried stuff for years. We've gotten comfortable with that space in our heart being filled with upsetness and bitterness. We have conversations in our heads about what revenge would look like. And yet you're saying that we are called to be a people that are like you. So, Father, I'm asking right now, as each of us are at that fork in the road, that you would bring a crisis before us and that we would choose to be obedient to you instead of our culture. Father, would you come and minister? And give us the courage to forgive. Lord, for some of us, we wrestle with this whole idea of forgiveness because we really don't think you've done that much for us. We look at ourselves and we think we're not that bad compared to our neighbors or our spouse or the people we see on American Most Wanted. And yet, Lord, Scripture says that not one of us here measures up. And you gave your son on our behalf. Lord, would you allow us just a glimpse of your grace and mercy? Would you allow us to experience and acknowledge that wonderful forgiveness that you offer us over and over again? Would you allow us to see, even if we're not able to see our sin and the choice that you made, that you took up the fork? Lord, your word says that as they were crucifying you, you said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We are in awe that you would respond to a people like us like that. Would you come and minister to us today? Would you give us the courage to forgive so that we might experience your forgiveness from the top of our head to the soles of our feet to the tips of our fingers. May you restore us to be your people this morning. In Jesus' most precious name, amen.